anxiety is heavy, huh? Anybody else? It's something you think and feel, but it is exhausting. And so I'm excited. Hopefully we can walk out of here feeling a little bit lighter, smiling, laughing more, creating some space in our brains and our hearts to where we were feeling heavy and exhausted and overwhelmed. Maybe have some encounters with the Lord to dream again and be excited, and that instead of being fearful and nervous, and we know that's contagious, right, for our children. Our children feel what we feel. And so instead, we can be contagious with joy and laughter. So that's my heart's desire this morning. Yep, those are my people. Oh my gosh, I love them. They're all texting me this morning, and I'm just very, very blessed to be their mama. But I'm a hot mess just like everybody else. So I'm just hoping that I can share with you a few things that are precious. These are not just like, oh, that's a good idea, I'll talk about that. I'm going to be talking about three of my best friends, because each one of these things have been encounters with Jesus for me. So I'm excited to share my heart with you this morning. We're going to kind of begin and end with one of my favorite passages, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. So if you will humor me, let's just read this together, but I want you to pretend like you're reading it for the first time, and you are hearing Jesus say this to you specifically, this morning, Wednesday. No matter what you came in here carrying, this is what Jesus is saying to you this morning. So let's read it out loud together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Jesus, teach us how to come, teach us how to find, teach us how to receive. Lord, teach us how to lay down these heavy, heavy burdens that we're carrying today, I pray. Amen. And I'm going to set a timer so that I am a very present person. I do this all throughout my life. If we ever have coffee, I will be setting a timer so that I don't run late to the next thing I have to do, and so I don't have to think about it. I just get to be present. So I'm excited to just relax and unpack some things with you guys this morning. But I don't have to do any convincing this morning that anxiety is a real thing, right? It's an epidemic, really. They're saying that more than 40 million Americans in the U.S. are plagued with, and this is just diagnosed, anxiety disorders. The American Psychiatric Society says that just in 2024, that 43% of adults say they're more anxious this year than they were last year. And that's just, I mean, that's heartbreaking. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a renowned neuropsychologist, and she says that over 75% of all of our chronic health issues can actually scientifically be traced back to toxic thoughts. So if we can actually get our thoughts washed, right, if we can learn how to come to Jesus and receive, it says that we get to have the mind of Christ. How do we get that? If we can learn to live in that, we can literally transform not just our family, but our nation and our world. So that's what I'm hoping we can unpack today. But what's the remedy, right? We've all tried. Is it just, I'm going to think different thoughts. I will do something different, right? It is not just by the sheer force of my determination. There is an encounter that we have to have with Jesus if we're actually going to destroy anxiety and receive his rest. And so that's what I want to unpack with you. I want to talk about three specific things, powerful choices that we can make whenever we find ourselves crippled by anxiety, or just the first anxious thought that kind of wanders into our brain. Or we see our kid coming home and something's happened and they're panicked, they're feeling anxious. There's no junior Holy Spirit. That's what I tell my kids all the time. Yeah, you're little, but you don't have a junior Holy Spirit. So the same things he's teaching me, these are for my kids. So, you know, like, you don't have to teach your kid to be anxious, right? They're watching you, they're catching it. Same thing. They're gonna watch you come to Jesus, and that's how they're gonna learn to come. They're gonna watch you let him take your heavy yoke, take your heavy burdens, you lay them down, and then they're going to do it. So we're going to be contagious in our intimacy with Jesus, with our children. So we're going to unpack the three things. I would suggest that surrendering, praising, and attending are the three keys that will literally transform you from anxiety to glorious, overwhelming, bubbling joy. Those three things have saved my life, changed my life, and given me my dream life. So I just want to share those with you today. We're going to start by looking at Psalm 16. And I am I'm a research junkie. My background is psychology and counseling. But even in that, my favorite was the divinity major that I got because I just love the word. Anybody else, you start reading and then like you find yourself into all the, I'm just going to start here. And you read all these other stories and you're just like, I'm a fire hydrant researcher. But I like background, right? So when you ever read a psalm, it's so helpful to be like, I hear my theology professor in my head, like, who is this written to? Why are they writing it, right? Background matters. And so the background of Psalm 16 is really, really powerful. King David is writing Psalm 16. Here's where he is in his life. Samuel anoints him about 10 plus years earlier, and he was like, hey, God is anointing you to be king. I mean, who wants an amazing promise from God, right? Yes, okay, Lord, let's do this. And it's 10 years later. Did God really say that? Don't you hear the serpent in the garden saying, did God really say that? Are you sure that was from God? Here he is in the middle of this awful city that has just been burned to the ground by his enemies. Okay, he just comes back from battle, burned to the ground. All of his treasures, all of their wives, all of their children have been carted off and captured. That's a bad day. That is a very, very, very bad day. And then, to make matters worse, his best friends, his warriors, his bros turn to him and literally pick up stones to kill him. That's an awful day. And a lot of scholars say that this is the timeline where it says, we read in and David strengthened himself in the Lord. What does that look like? Psalm 16, they said a lot of scholars believe was penned, was sung. Even, maybe he didn't write it, maybe he did, but that this was the psalm that he sang to the Lord during that time. And so I love the imagery of that. So as we read it, let's imagine you're not sitting in this beautiful location. You're sitting, has anybody been to like where fire has ravaged? We were just talking about, the damage of fire. My senior year in high school, our house burnt down and we lost everything. And I remember going back a couple days later, y'all, the smell, the stench of that, you don't forget it. And imagine that's where David's sitting. His wife, his children, his treasures, everything has been stolen. And he chooses to strengthen himself in the Lord. So we're going to unpack Psalm 16. And as I read this, I want you to be looking for surrendering, praising, and attending, because they're all three here, okay? So if you want to close your eyes or open your eyes, whatever you want to do, lay on the ground, stand on the table, I'm good with all of it. All right, here we go. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more, but I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, nor take up their names upon my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and you make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him in my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, your eternal pleasures at your right hand. Woo! Y'all, that is good. That is really, really good. That's a happy day. I feel like we could just end there. Because just getting up and declaring that over our situations is massive, right? I'm going to continue to declare this until I see things change. That verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Y'all, doesn't that sound like an anxious-free life? That's what we want, right? How many times do we go, Lord, tell me your will, tell me your will. A lot of times we want, if we're honest, we want answers, right? So we don't have to trust. But what we're seeing here is in his presence is actually where the fullness of joy abides. And the path of life is realized, it's the with him life, right? And so as we start unpacking, I'm just going to look at surrendering, praising, and intending. And we're just going to invite the Lord to come and to reveal these truths to us. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You know, the scripture says that God turns the hearts of kings like channels of water. I think that's so powerful. I remember when I was in college, I was at this deciding point. We got married in college, and so we're young and married. I was like, I'm done with college. I'm ready for the next chapter of my life. And so I'm a dreamer and let's do something fun. You know, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. Anybody else? And so I was like, I'm done with school. I'm like ready to, you know, I'm just going to get my associates. I'll take another semester. I'm going to launch into business. And I was so excited. And then I went to bed, and as I was going to bed, I just sensed this, you know, like you hear the voice of the Lord. It's like, honey, you want to talk to me about that? You know? And I was like, oh no, you're with me, right? This is good. Isn't this a fun idea? I've got all these fun plans. And I just heard, hey, surrender that to me. Surrender that desire to me. And I was like, okay. Lord, you know, and just, I meant it, but there's no way my heart's actually going to do like a 180 overnight, right? So I'm like, Lord, I surrender this desire to you. I surrender my future to you. I'm going to bed, laying my head on the pillow. And I'm like, I give you my heart, and I ask you to direct my desires like you direct the hearts of kings, like channels of water. If this is not good for me, I ask you to breathe on my desires and for me to desire what you desire for me when I wake up. Y'all, I still remember, this was a long time ago, but I still remember I woke up and I was like, business? It was like a physical, I was like, what a horrible, awful idea. Who thought of that? You know, it was like awful. And I was like, I could not wait to get to class. Front row, I'm a front row learner. And so I was like, I'm ready. Psychology, here we come. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that has become, we pray that with our girls. And, you know, my girls start dating. And I'm like, can you pray this prayer? That's a question we ask regularly throughout the process. Our girls can't date till they're 15. So the little fourth grader, I'm like, they still say, can't date till I'm 15. Will you wait for me? You know, it's like, it's a good test. You know, and so my girls, I'm so proud of my Bella, she'll be 17 here in a few weeks. And she was like, oh, this is up. Once you start really liking somebody, it's even harder to pray it, right? And so we're like, have you surrendered him lately? She was like, yes. It was so hard. You know, tears streaming down her eyes. It's so good, y'all. Surrender is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing, right? About everything thing. So surrender. I encourage you, if you haven't prayed that prayer, it'll change your life. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think a lot of us would be like, yes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God. But it's like, no, y'all, we like answers. We like plans. We like know what we're doing when we're doing it, right? But if you invert that, so that means if you have the answers, if you have all the answers, it's impossible to please God. Because you don't need faith if you have all the answers. So holding space for not having all the answers is actually where trust, intimacy, and glory, and actually pleasing God lives. So we can embrace that, right? But we don't really want to. So because being vulnerable is no fun, right? But in Psalms 1, 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, he starts off the entire psalm, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord," he's like telling himself, you know, you're like, Jackie, you will do this. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord." Another translation says, "Master. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Remember all his good things just left? "Apart from you, I have no good thing." Even the promises that are far off that haven't come. How many times we're like, once this happens, then I won't be anxious anymore. Once this happens, then I'll breathe. It's like, no, apart from you, I have no good thing. So since I have you, I have everything that is good. And everything that you declare is good for me will find its way back into my life, or you'll give me the courage to go and get it with you, right? It's the with you. Anybody a personality profile? I've already told you I'm a psychology nerdy. Every single one of those, Enneagram, DISC, it doesn't matter which one it is. They're so powerful. They highlight our personal preference for how we have chosen to engage life to what? Keep ourselves safe and secure. Every single one. So if you look at the Enneagram, you realize, oh, to feel safe and secure, these are going to be my go-tos. And it's just the ones you've been most habitually conditioned that work, have worked for you and that you have connected with. Because we hate being vulnerable, right? We hate being vulnerable. Even, I love how Brene Brown, the vulnerability expert, says that even if you find yourself in one of those awkward situations where you like actually get naked emotionally, then you wake up with a vulnerability hangover the next morning, right? And you're like, why? Why do you feel that way? Because you felt, you know, naked. You're, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Now they have information, they can harm me, they can blow up, right? And we just spin out, right? But the reality is vulnerability is glorious. It's actually glorious because that is where true intimacy abides with the Lord. And anytime we try to make ourselves safe or secure on our own, we're actually undoing and shielding ourselves from being able to deeply connect with the Lord. You know, I was just talking with a friend about how the Lord is healing her ability to receive comfort from him. This is exactly what we're talking about. If we are determined to be our own source of safety and security, we cannot be comforted by the Lord. And so vulnerability, embracing it, really is our gateway to intimacy with Jesus. Psalm 127 through 1 and 2 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go to rest late, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep, right? So we even if we try, we can't do it. We cannot keep ourselves safe or secure. But we crave security, right? We crave it. And if we're honest with ourselves, like we were talking earlier, it is this attempt to get these answers. When we pray, how we pray reveals, are we just trying to say, hey, Lord, give me what I want so I can feel safe and secure? Or is he our safety and security, right? Are we saying, help me feel your presence so that I can actually be aware of how safe and secure I am? Or am I saying, God, please make this, this, and this happen, right? It's going to him, but it's going to him for different things. And those things are worth taking a look at. I love the story of John Kavanaugh. I don't know if you've heard it before, but it's so beautiful. He went to spend 3 months with Mother Teresa in Calcutta in the House of the Dying. And while he was there, he said, will you pray for me? Will you just pray for me? She was like, okay, what do you want me to pray for you for? And he said, for clarity. I want clarity on what God wants me to do with my life. And she goes, no. Like, she just, she was like, absolutely, no, I'm not, I will not pray for that. And he was like, what? And she was like, no. Clarity is the last thing that you are holding on to. That's got to be surrendered. And he was just, what? But you seem so clear. You're like, you've got clarity, you know. And she started laughing. She goes, I have never had clarity. What I've always had is trust. Y'all, surrender, the goal of surrender is to gain trust. Not to get our way, not to get what we want, right? Which our ultimate way and want is him himself, right? Not these, when this happens, I'll be okay, right? He is our okayness. I love that. So this really hard question with surrender is, today, on this random Wednesday in October, Lord, is there anything that I have not fully surrendered to you today, right? That's a scary question to pray. Lord, is there anything that I haven't surrendered to you? And Lord, is there anything else that I am making my safety, my security, and my master? You know, when Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than the rich man to get into heaven, is that because he hates wealth? Absolutely not. We can do so much good with wealth. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. If it was bad, he'd be poor. He's not. He owns everything. No, it's anything we put our trust in. It's anything that gives us that false, numbing sense of security, right? That's the danger. That is what actually can yield the power of the cross. Powerless in our life is if we are going to anything apart from him. So we've got to ask that honest, hard question is, Lord, are you my everything? Are you my security? Are you my master? Okay, so that's surrendering. And it's not a choice, right? Surrender is not, I kind of feel like I'm, no, it's a choice. It's a choice. That's why it's a living sacrifice, right? We're called in scripture to be living sacrifices. The most annoying thing about being a living sacrifice is you can just climb down off the altar, right? A living sacrifice, I'm getting back on the altar today, Lord. I am surrendering everything again today. So surrendering. Praising is the second thing. Psalm 16, if you scroll down to verse 7, it says, David says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I love both of these verses for two different reasons. Praise is such a weapon. Oh my gosh. Raise a hallelujah song. Anybody love that song? It is a weapon, and I wish I could unpack that, but there's not enough time for that today. But also, I love, you know, even at night my heart instructs me. We sit around the breakfast table all the time with my kids. We're like, anybody got a dream? Let's interpret it. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So if that's something, and even the worst dreams. Oh my gosh, y'all, some of the worst nightmares have become some of my favorite dreams ever that have unlocked me and my children spiritually. So if that's something that's on your heart, shameless book plug, I have a whole chapter on dreams and how you can parent your children with interpreting their dreams as invitations to hear God's heart. But praising requires our mouth, right? So it's not just a yes, I'm going to praise him, I'm going to think good thoughts, I'm going to say yes, you're good, you're great, you're great. But pushing praise out of your mouth when you feel like you're in a ball of anxiety, it's hard. I remember one time I was crippled with anxiety, we had two little kids, no money, we were like doing 3-minute full-time ministries. I was just like, Lord, and he was like, praise me. And I was like, I felt like my mouth wouldn't work. And I was like, gosh, what is wrong with me? It's called a sacrifice of praise for a reason, but we're actually commanded to praise. This is not an option. We're commanded. In Philippians 4:4, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. That's huge. It's like, hey, baby girl, do it, you know? But it's praising. Praising him for who he is. Who he is, what he said, what he's done. It's, this is who you are. This is who I am in you, right? This is what is real. Because anxiety wants to say, oh my gosh, all these big things, right? Because anxiety, I love my friend and Raul's definition of anxiety. Anxiety is the imagination of a future negative that hasn't even happened yet. That's anxiety. But you see it, so therefore you feel it, right? And that's why you come into agreement with it through your imagination and your thoughts, and then it becomes, oh, this is definitely going to happen, right? It's definitely not going to happen. It might happen if you continue to dream about it, right? That's the crazy thing about anxiety. But in praise, songs are their heavenly keys, right? Just that song we sang this morning, it was one praise after another. It's, hey, I might be going through this, but this is true. I've seen it. I'm going to see it again. I've seen it. I'm going to see it again. And maybe all you see is rubble. All you smell is like the disgusting stench of destruction. And you stand over that pile and you say, this is who he is. This is who I am. This is what I've seen. This is what I'm going to see again. That is praise. That is praise. And scripture says that angels long to look and understand those things. Y'all, that's when you stump angels. You're like, whoa, how are they doing that? I want to pray. And then they come and they start singing with you. And then it gets really fun. That's my kind of a party. Not kidding. Okay, so, scripture tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue. And it says, and those who love it, which we all do, we all talk. The question is life or death coming out of it? It says, those who love it will eat its fruit. Y'all, we're going to eat the fruit of our tongues, and so are our children, right? So let's be really committed to using our tongues for praise and declarations of hope and not destruction. Okay, we're on to the third one, attending. We're just going to do a little exercise. Jim Quick is a learning expert, and he's got a really helpful exercise. So I want everybody to kind of like shake your body out, put your right arm all the way out. Don't hit your neighbor, but stick it all the way out and start loosening it up, shaking it. Okay, so how many people here today are like, okay, I'm done with anxiety. I'm ready. I'm totally done. Give me a head nod. Yeah? Okay. So if, you know, when your kids, when you pick them up from school today, you are determined they're going to feel something different on me. They're going to feel peace and not stress. Yeah? Is that you? Okay. Who is committed to Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Huh? That you're going to come to Jesus? You finally act. Oh, I hear you calling. I've just been hanging out over here, but I'm coming today, and I'm going to find rest for my soul. Yeah? Okay. Watch this. Make a fist. All right. Put it to your chin. Where's your chin, everybody? Okay, that is the power of attending, right? That's the power of attending. It's huge. I know. Okay, so Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Y'all, what are you looking at? We were created with an inward imagination, a divine imagination. We were created that way. Inward eyes and outward eyes. And what we think about, if we can worry, we can meditate. It's like a rough stone that becomes smooth from turning it over and over and over again. That's what we do with thoughts. That's why it's so easy to worry, because you've thought a lot of worrisome thoughts, and you've turned them over. They're really smooth stones in your head, right? It feels kind of awkward to think like, oh, goodness is coming. That feels awkward. But the more you turn it over and over and over in your head, that becomes your smooth stone. Right? That is the art of meditating, is turning one thought, looking at it from all the different angles, admiring it, dreaming about it, fantasizing about the goodness of God, rather than the calamity that's already marching towards you, right? So my husband and I were talking about this, like, are you daydreaming with Jesus or are you daydreaming with the devil? And so we'll call each other out and be like, that sounds like a daydreaming with the devil moment, Jackie. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, yeah. So like all the time. Our thoughts, we have so thousands of thoughts a day, right? But the beautiful thing is the neural pathways, they're like well-worn paths. So while it might become awkward at first, the more we do it, they become familiar pathways of trust, of praise, of surrendering, of attending, right? So I love this, that research is now starting to catch up and prove the power of prayer. They just did a research on how prayer changes your brain, because they found that, you know, fear, anxiety, worry, like those thoughts, they can see the impact on the brain, on brain scans, just from thinking those thoughts. But then they did a study where they had people commit to pray. It was 12 minutes a day for 8 weeks. And at the end of that, they took a new brain scan, and the brain had started to heal and change in some of those areas just from that small amount of time. Y'all, it's not just, let's just think good thoughts. The Lord knows how he designed us. He created us to be creative agents creating things on the earth, right? If power of life and death are in our tongue, then that means they're in our thoughts, because everything that comes out of your mouth came out of your heart, right? It's a heart thought first. So attending. Matthew 6, 19 through 34 says, Jesus says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So the power of looking. Have you all heard about the red car phenomenon where like you're all going to see red cars when you drive home today, by the way, because you're like, oh, or you get a new car, right? And you're like, oh, I'm like the only one on the road. And then your car is everywhere. It's because now you're looking for it. So this is the power of attending. It's what we are looking for. What you look for, you will find, right? And you'll find more and more and more of it. But worry, I love this. Worry is misplaced worship. Worry, that's sobering. You're like, oh, I'm just worrying. I'm just like trying to be productive and, you know, preventative. No, 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 baby girl. You are worshiping something and it ain't Jesus. So we need to look at that, right? I love comparing the art of attending to how a radio works. Like right now in this very moment, there's all these radio waves all in this room, right? They're all in here. Like we could literally get a radio. We can tune. Remember, all, like anybody else at recess have the, no, yes, anybody? Like them. I had one of those. And my girls were like, "What is that?" Like, oh, because this is how they listen to everything now. But you could tune in, right? And you like get stuck between two stations, and it's awful. It's like, shh. That's what we sound like when we're like, "Oh no, Jesus is good." Oh, the anxious thought. Like we're all over the place. But we have the choice what we attend to, what we tune into, right? We can tune into any channel that we want. We can tune into the channel of the enemy and the lies he's declaring, the traps he's setting, or we can tune into what God, it says, I love this, it says that God sings songs over us. Have you ever prayed that prayer? It's one of the prayers I pray. Lord, I want to hear the song that you are singing over me today, right? Let's tune into it. But I guarantee we'll never listen and hear it unless we're actively choosing to tune into it. So I've done this with my daughters, with attending, reading the word and then applying divine imagination. It unlocks you in a whole nother way. Find something that they're anxious about with your children. Find a promise in the word that means it. And then invite them to imagine themselves in that promise connected to the problem. So like my daughter Bella, who's 17 now, when she was in elementary school, all of a sudden math was like her nemesis. Like she would get all nervous, like, I hate it, I'm awful at it, like just all these thoughts. And I was like, hey babe, so we literally walked through this process and we sat down and we got with the Lord and we're like, Lord, this is what you said. This is what you said about Arabella, this is who she is. So I was like, Bella, I want you to imagine if this is all true, and here's a math problem, we come to it, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine what it would be like. And she paints the most elaborate picture and it was amazing. I'm like, we're like Pocahontas, swept away, it was incredible. I was like, I want to do math. It sounded so wonderful. And I was like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Every morning, because we were homeschooling at the time, every morning before we sit down and do math, we are going to go back to that picture until we feel it, until we connect with it, and then we're going to do math. Y'all, she is like amazing at math now. She's not afraid of it. She's not great. She was like, that is so weird. So we still talk about that. It completely redefined her relationship with math. And all it was encountering what God says about her, applying her divine imagination, and recreating a pathway in her brain. And that is what the Lord is inviting us into. He designed us with divine imagination. And so we've done this all the time. I remember Jake and I, we did this with my other daughter. Like, we do this for their birthdays. We're like, Lord, show us, because we just bellow when she turned 16. We're like, show us her, the 30-year-old version of herself. Y'all, there's something amazing for your children. This is a whole nother talk that I really want to talk about, but I will not today. Hearing God's heart for you in the future helps you reverse engineer your moment now. right? So I've seen my kids because they can connect with the Lord's heart for them when they're older. So then now they're like, oh, yeah, I don't want that. Older Jackie doesn't, oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that, right? Whereas now we're so trapped in the present that it's easy to get stuck in those places. And so that is a very, very, very beautiful thing to do. So we're going to experiment with that with each other right now. So, for example, I want you, if you'll all just humor me, just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine, okay? I want you to imagine that your phone starts ringing. You know what your phone looks like. Imagine it. It's sitting there. It's going off. You hear your ringtone, okay? And then the person on the other end of the phone says, oh, my gosh, hi, this is Sarah down at, you know, the lawyer's office. I need you to come down this morning because we have just found the most insane document that you are, you know, the heiress of this incredible fortune. And you're like, what? So you get down there, you find out it is real. It is. So you're like, oh my gosh, you call your husband, you are freaking out. I want you to think about the things that start going through your mind right now. What debt has been washed away? What has been taken care of? What is no longer a heavy burden for you? Can you picture those things? Can you picture the vacation that you're already planning? Okay, now open your eyes. Here's what's really exciting. Scripture tells us that whatever you just thought of doesn't even come close to what God has planned for you. It doesn't even come close. You actually did not dream big enough. Because 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived are the things God has prepared for those who love him. Y'all, we can't actually dream big enough. He's bigger and better, and he has bigger and better things for us. But we have to choose to carve out time to say, God, what are you thinking today? It's one of my favorite things to pray is like, Lord, what made you laugh today? I need to know what made you laugh today. Because anybody at the dinner table, we do highs, lows, buffaloes with our kids. And the buffalo is just something weird and random. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is a buffalo? What happened in China today? Ask him. He knows. That is an incredible, intimate relationship that we can get and have with the Lord. And we're invited into that. So I'm running out of time, so I'm going to kind of button this up for just a minute. But I'm going to tell you a story. About 2 years ago, these three things became like my three best friends ever. I mean, I'd flirted with surrender. I actually thought I was super surrendered. And praise was a normal day of my life, and attending, one of my favorite things to do ever. So, yeah, 2 years ago, we find out that I took 4 pregnancy tests after 7 years ago getting a vasectomy, and we were done having babies. And it's pregnant, and I'm like, whoa, like panicking. This is not my plan. I'm about to do college applications with my senior in high school. What in the world is going on, Jesus? We took a semen sample to the doctor. I'm like, clearly it's reversed itself, scheduled into surgery right now. And they're like, no, he's sterile. You can't be pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm pregnant. And they're like, no, you can't be pregnant from him. There's no sperm. Like, you cannot be. And I was like, well, he's the only dude I've ever slept with, so it's him or no one. And so they're like, well, if that's true, you need to go to your OB, like, now. Because it could be really, really bad. And it could be ovarian cancer or uterine cancer that so far progressed, the tumor's producing HCG levels high enough to warrant a false pregnancy test. And that typically means you have a few months to live. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, this is, what is, I felt like it was a fever dream, y'all. I was living a fever dream. And so I was like, Lord, what do I do? I called my OB. They couldn't get me in for 3 weeks. I was like, I had 4 kids with you. What are you talking about, 3 weeks? Called 3 other, you know, they're like, I can't get you in, can't get you in. I was like, Jesus, do I go to the ER? And I'm on a walk. I'm like, talk to me. And he was like, nope, I've ordained these 3 weeks for you. And I was like, now I'm scared. What does that mean? And he said, surrender to my goodness. So I said, yes, sir, but I'm going to need help with that. So I was like, I'm not going home till I feel the first wave of surrender. I'm pretty stubborn, so it only took like 6 miles. Not kidding. And so I walked 6 miles every day for 3 weeks until that appointment. And I had worship music in 24/7. I was attending because if my brain started to wander, I started thinking, am I going to do like video goodbyes to my 4 daughters before their wedding? Am I going to like, what am I say? What do you say at a wedding you're not even at yet? And they're blah, like, I mean, your brain just woo. And I'm like, I will not do that. I will not be anxious. You have said surrender to my goodness. I'm going to do it. And these days are holy. And so just like those 3 weeks, those were the worst, most precious 3 weeks of my life. I didn't know if I was dying, and I was not going to die. I was going to, like, you know, slay cancer. But who wants to do that? No, don't sign me up for that. Or I'm going to have a miracle baby, which sounds really exciting. I'm like, yes, Lord, miracles. I want miracles. I'm like, oh, gosh, that one. You know, but he is the best miracle. Oh, my gosh, my little tracer. I could not imagine. That's why his name means my surrendered to God's goodness. That's what tracer means. And so, y'all, this opportunity, no matter what you're in, that's what I want to tell you. These 3 weeks that I had, the Lord told me these are holy days and you're not going to get them back. Surrendering, trusting, praising, attending now in the not knowing is glory. You don't get that back once you know. Once I knew if it was cancer or if it was a baby, it's not the same. This is the precious window moment. So whether you just have today before a phone call with a diagnosis, before, you know, the trip, before the conversation, whatever it is, don't squander this moment that you're in, because you're not going to get it back. It's a holy opportunity to surrender, praise, and attend. And that's where relationship thrives. That's where intimacy grows. I have about an hour more to share with you. I'm not going to do it. But what I want to encourage you guys to do, and we're going to take the time to do this, is I want you maybe later today to go through this verse and attend, okay? So when it says come, picture yourself, like, picture yourself coming to Jesus. What does that look like? I want you to picture the things that are heavy yokes on you today. Because if he's saying, take my yoke upon you, y'all, that's like two ox, right? They're yoked together. This one can't go anywhere. This one's going. So are you yanking Jesus over here, or are you happy to go where he's leading you? Are you yoked to Jesus? He's going to have to remove some other yokes from you. What is it that's heavy on you right now? What false burdens are you carrying? What are you weighed down by? Those are the things he's inviting you to surrender today. Those are the things he's inviting you to praise him, that he is already there in it with you, and he already has a plan of deliverance and blessing for you. Praise him, right? And then attend to him. Look and see what he's doing. Look and hear what he's saying. So walk through this process. Come and then picture, literally picture yourself, whatever it is, taking it off. And then receiving from him, right? Receiving rest for your soul. Does anybody have like a favorite place, the beach or the mountains? Like, you have your favorite go-to, right? So you say it. You just think ocean. I think ocean and sand and sunshine. And I'm like, I instantly feel. Do you feel like or if you know a vacation's coming, you're just like, okay, it's coming, right? You can instantly rest. Picturing yourself with Jesus there helps you. It helps you. And it can become a rewiring of your brain through intimacy. So as you attend, invite the Lord to breathe on your divine imagination, because there are opportunities for encounter in that moment. So I just want to pray over us as we, you know, close out and you guys go to small groups. So let's just all turn our hearts and our affections to the Lord. Lord, we love you. We look to you. We thank you that you are not anxious about our today, and you are not anxious about our tomorrow, and that you are good and you are worthy, and we can trust you to surrender to you, to praise you, and to attend to you. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to do that. Teach us how to surrender everything. Give us the grace to push praise out of our mouth and to look. When we want to close our eyes in despair, Lord, to look to you. Lord, in the same way that we could picture going and walking to our car and getting in the car and driving home, Lord, that is that's our imagination, and it's a gift. Lord, I pray that you would wake us up to the things that we've been imagining and daydreaming with the devil on, Lord, and we would start dreaming and seeing and looking for you and experiencing you in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are our pleasures evermore. We love you, love you, love you, and we invite you to breathe on the conversations that are about to happen. Lord, I pray that you would rearrange the affairs of our hearts. like you do the channels of waters of kings, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for having me.